Hi everybody, it's Ella again from Open Country. I hope you're all well. This evening I'm joined by my mum, Sarah. Say hi, mum.
Hi.
And today we're walking through St. Ives Estate in Bingley. We're here for a dog walk mainly, but we're also hoping we can use it as an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about the history, heritage, and wildlife of St. Ives in Bingley. And we're really grateful to have you with us. Right, guys, we've just parked up at the main car park at St. Ives, and we've headed up the hill. They've recently done some deforestation in St. Ives, and in the place of the pine and larch trees that were once there, they've planted all sorts of native UK species like oak and silver birch. And there's still a few trees left standing, and we found over the last few weeks that this is a really great spot to see and hear woodpeckers, great spotted woodpeckers. Maybe the last three times we've managed to see and hear woodpeckers from here. So we're hoping to get some views and sightings of the birds in action today. We're just heading up towards the golf course at St. Ives. This park is run by Bradford City Council, with a lot of help of the Friends of St. Ives Estate, and it's a beautiful place to come. We use it mainly for dog walking, as I mentioned, but it is also another great spot for wildlife watching. You've got a real mixture of young and old woodland, parkland, and grassland, and then there's one major pond up at the top called Coppice Pond as well, where you've got a lot of wildfowl. Such as swans and geese and ducks. And this is a great time to come because they've all got young. So we'll be heading towards the pond shortly, and we hopefully will get some nice views for you of the young swans and the young geese in action. It's worth saying that today is probably one of the hottest days of the year so far. It's been, what, 27, 28 degrees, and it's about 8:30 now in the evening, so it's just starting to get cool, and we've chosen this time to come just because it's not as hot for the dogs, and we're hoping it's a little bit quieter around the site so we get more wildlife sightings and hear more of the birds around the site. We're about 5 or 10 minutes into this walk now, and we're w currently walking through the memorial field, which is a field dedicated to the loved ones that have sadly passed away due to cancer. All the trees on the left and the right of us have all been planted through Cancer Research UK, and are all dedicated to someone that's passed away from cancer. They're all native species. There's mainly oak with a couple of rowan trees and a few silver birch, I think, as well. And they're about 15, 10, 15 years old, are the trees. And it's a really nice place to come and walk through because everyone's written a little message for their loved one underneath the tree. There's all sorts of different flowers that have been put out and tied to the trees. And yeah, all sorts of little notes that have been written. So it's just a really nice place to come and spend a little time and walk through and think about others. As we come out of this memorial field, the first thing I notice is a line of foxgloves lining up the path as we continue the walk. Foxgloves are quite a beautiful flower. They almost look like a little tiny glove for your finger, and they're a purpley pink colour in a row horizontally coming down. And the bees love them, and wildlife in general loves them. So they're really nice to see here, and they add a lovely bit of colour to the landscape, which is primarily green from here.
Now then, we've just come out of the memorial field and we're on the slope overlooking the valley. It's beautiful, the sun's setting, and it's just hitting the lovely yellow sandstone of Damart Mills. And in the background we can see the fields, and it leads up to the top of Baildon Moor. Very peaceful. So we've just pulled off the path here, and we've got a great big bush of elderflower next to us, which smells gorgeous. And some of you will be aware that there's good elderflower champagne to be made. A little bit of yeast, which comes from the flower. You don't need to add any yeast. A bit of lemon juice and sugar, and then a few weeks later you've got a delicious champagne. And it smells gorgeous. We're now on an old track leading up the hill. Alongside the track is a very old dry stone wall, and it's always amazing to me that the people that built these walls can make them so strong and so sturdy without using any cement or other means to keep them up. They must have been here for hundreds of years. Anyway, I'm just looking over the wall onto the field where there are a mixture of horses. Some are for the riding for the disabled, and in the field we can see a little pheasant and some rabbits. Both seem very happy on this lovely summer evening, and right in front of me I can see a beautiful dog rose.
We've just taken a right hand turn, and now we're back in the thick of the undergrowth and the woodland, just walking up towards the main top field here. And just through the trees we can see the sun's very slowly starting to set. Lots of bright orange coming through the tree line, which is nice. And I thought we'd use this opportunity to tell you a little bit about the history of St Ives. My mum knows it a little bit better than I do. Mum?
Yes, it has a very long and varied interesting history. It dates back to medieval times, when the monks that were attached to Rivo Abbey had this as part of their estate. And a very large estate, extending right the way from North Yorkshire. There is rumours as well that the field that we're just walking past was part of the Civil War. There was meant to have been quite a serious battle in this top field, and I believe there's been some archaeology that's been found in the past. The field has got a really old barn in it, which dates back before the estate became owned by the Ferran family in early Victorian times. The Ferran family were very famous locally. The owner, Mr. Ferran, was a prominent member of parliament who has a reputation for fighting for the rights of the young child workers that were very cruelly put to work at a very early age. And his mother, who also lived in the large house in the centre of the estate, has a little memorial to her on the other side of the estate. She was called Lady Ballantyne, and the rock was supposedly meant to be an area where she used to sit and read her book. So we're still walking through the woodland, and parallel to us is a very quiet lane that leads up the hill to an area called Alter Lane, and it's called Alter Lane because there are some very large stones at the top of the hill that has a folklore story attached to them, which is meant to be reputedly meant to be where the Druids had their altar, and hence Alter Lane.
I'm just taking us off the path once again, because over the last few weeks, maybe months, some of the local children who visit St Ives have been making a den in the woods, and now it's absolutely enormous. It really is a proper tent made out of twigs and leaves, and I'm just heading into that den as we speak. It's very dark in here. It's probably the size of a small car. Inside it's very dark, and there's someone's put quite a big log inside, presumably to sit on or rest their head. And it really is quite a sturdy bit of engineering. So well done to the local kids for managing to put that together. Quite excited to see what they do next. Right, I'm just catching up with my mum, who's stood a couple of metres away from a wooden carved statue here in the woods. What's this, Mum?
It's a very impressive hooded statue of one of the monks that was farming here in the medieval times. He's standing there with a scythe in his hand to symbolise the farm. The farming activity. They had a lot of farmland, and this area was probably used for sheep and sheep grazing. They had a very thriving wool industry and became very rich from all their land produce and wealth. Henry VIII was very jealous, and leading up to the early 16th century, they were very busy and had very important part in the community.
Lots of lovely bird sound as we walk through the woods. I can hear a blackbird with all sorts of different calls coming out of it. And a robin on my left, or behind me now, and in the distance I can hear a chaffinch as well. We've just come through the top field at St Ives, and over the last couple of days the field's obviously been scythed, and we're now walking through the freshly cut field and making our way through the freshly cut hay. And the smell in the fields are absolutely gorgeous. It really is nice. So we're just walking through the freshly cut hay field up at the top now, and we're probably at the highest point at St Ives Woods and Estate, and we're looking out across Bingley, and I can just about make out Lister's Mill in front of us on the horizon. Just to my left is the old barn that my mum mentioned earlier.
Yes, the barn probably dates back to when the Ferran family first bought the land and established their dynasty. The family was here for about 100, I would say 150 years or so, and then they unfortunately they didn't have an heir And they decided that they were going to sell the property and the land and looked for a buyer for this massive estate, which I don't know how big it is, but it is a very big estate. Fortunately for the people of Bradford and the district, they couldn't find a buyer and decided to sell it to Bradford Council, and which I believe was the costly sum of about £30,000, which would be a lot of money in today's money, but for all that, that price is obviously worth it, and it's now part of the wonderful heritage of the Bradford district and its people.
And what year was it sold to the council, roughly?
It's in the 1930s.
And that price came with the care home down at the bottom, didn't it? The old estate house, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the family house. Yes, that was the Ferrans' country house. And there, a lot of the buildings at the side were for the people that worked on the estate. There is a, on the other side, there is the gamekeeper's house. And just in front of the gamekeeper's house, you can see evidence of a large sort of underground cavern where the family used to buy ice and store it down there. This was obviously before the days of refrigeration.
Yeah, there's a few old manor houses that had ice caves, isn't there? I think Temple Newsome and Middleton Park both had ice caves, didn't they?
Yes, I believe so.
We've come off the top field now, and we're walking down a farm track towards Coppice Pond. We've noticed here that even though it's been a dry couple of months, there's still a lot of mud on the ground, and there's loads and loads of horse hoof prints in the mud. So we're obviously getting close to the riding stables in front of us. And my mum's just noticed that the bramble flowers are out, the blackberry flowers are out, and she pointed out how when she was here the other day, there was a swarm of bees over the bramble flowers. The golf course is on our left, and we're walking downhill now towards the second car park here at St Ives. There's some really nice, beautiful old maple and beech trees lining the sides of the path that they're walking on. They must be maybe 400, 500 years old.
So we come down to the bottom of this little lane, and just on the side of the lane you can see a lovely quaint little old building. A stone building, a long, low building with some stone tiles, which is obviously one of the old pigsty buildings, and it looks very cute. It looks like a little cottage.
We've just joined the main road again now. It's a very quiet time of day to be walking. It's now 9:30, 9:45, but it's still light. There's a crescent moon out though. And we're walking past the old stables that used to be part of the estate on the right. This particular stables has now been let to go derelict, but the next stables that we come up to on the right are actually in use for the riding for the disabled. And there's a really cute sign in the window here which says Toad's Crossing, on mild damp evenings please drive carefully, which I think is very cute. And there's loads and loads of swallows here. Hopefully some of those will be nesting this summer in the stable buildings. We're hoping very shortly, as it gets a little darker, that some of the bats come out. We're heading towards Coppice Pond. We've just walked up the steps now, and we're right on the banks of Coppice Pond, which in fact is really a lake. It's quite sizeable, and it's a really nice time of day to be looking at it, because although the sun's starting to set, we've still got quite a lot of light, and the trees on the banks opposite have formed a really nice shadow pattern on the water. And it's really quite peaceful. There's lots of birds still singing, but very, very peaceful indeed. I can see one lone swan that looks like it's ready for its snooze. And I can see a pair of what I think to be a pair of mallards on the far corner. And then another pair of ducks, which I think's a pair of tufted ducks as well. But nothing else on the water at the moment. There is two sort of man-made islands, rather small, around the size of a small bathroom. There's two of them, and they've been made with lots of different water aquatic plants on top, which I presume are there to provide future nesting bases for the ducks and other bird species on the water. Yeah, it's really nice. We're just heading back down now through the lower woodland. It's almost 10 o'clock in the evening, so it is starting to get dark, but we're making our way down towards the car park. And my mum's just noticed one of the rhododendron species.
Yes, this rhododendron is called Rhododendron luteum. Luteum is Latin for yolk, and the colour of the flowers are just that. They're a very yolk-coloured tint to them, and they smell absolutely gorgeous. So the way to describe it, I think it was sort of spicy, almost like a cinnamon smell, and they really stand out. And in the warm summer evening, with the scent of these flowers drifting across the path, it's a real treat.
You might just be able to hear the beck now that runs from Coppice Pond down into the river. We're just going over the bridge, and because we've had such a dry few months that the water is just slowly trickling down, but there's pretty much nothing in there at the moment. It's been very, very dry. We're making our way into one of the oldest parts of the wood, which is it's borderline ancient woodland. There are some really nice old oak trees in this part of the woods. We're also just about to come across views of the old manor house, which has since been turned into a care home. Quite an exciting time to be walking through the woods, because it's a lot darker in here, and we've just seen two, three bats. We think with the pipistrelle bats, one of the smallest bats and one of the most common bats that you can see. And because of so many different habitats around St. Ives, it makes a really nice place to come for a bat walk. In fact, I was on a bat walk here a couple of years ago, and I think we noted four different species of bat in half an hour, which is pretty good going.
We're just passing the tree that is just along the path here, which is a very old yew tree. And it just reminds us that the oldest trees in England are in actual fact yew trees, often found in churchyards, as they were believed to have some sort of spiritual significance.
We're just heading back down now on the quiet road track down to the car park, and just on our left is a very small old bungalow called Betty's Lodge. And Betty's Lodge used to act as the guardhouse, so when people would drive up in their horse and carts, they'd have to stop off at Betty's Lodge to check in before they could drive up to the manor house. As we walk down the hill, we're literally a few hundred metres from the car, but I can't help but notice the lovely open views as I turn my head to the right. We've got lovely views on up to Wilsdon and Harden and the surrounding farmland fields. And in the field on the right, there's about 12 belted Galloway cows. They've got some calves as well, and they're just starting to settle down for the evening. And in the backdrop behind them, it's a beautiful old oak tree. It must be maybe 500-600 years old, and it's starting to die now. Some of the branches are beginning to bend back down and fall off, but it's still got a beautiful shape to it and still got lots of leaves this time of year, and it really does sort of frame the rest of the landscape behind it. Right guys, we're back at the car, and that was a really nice hour and a half walk, about 4 miles through Bingley St Ives estate. We've had a really nice time recording what's been around us and talking about some of the history of the site with my mum. And we hope you're well, and hopefully have you along next time on our walk. All the best. Bye-bye from me.
Bye.